Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And good morning. It's 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. I'm going to be talking today with Randolph County Commissioners David Holder and Dr. Martina. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Jeff. It's always nice to have a chance to come here and say a few words. I'm doing quite well on this beautiful sunny day.
It is for January. It's nice.
Ditto for me.
Dr. Keenan was talking. I guess we're going to talk something about the connector. And
Yes, we just finished up the state task force on the Southwest Illinois connector. And I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about the report, which is at the printer as we speak, and it's coming out probably in the first week or 10 days here in January. And found out some interesting statistics and reasons why we should build this connector.
Right, and this is something that's been talked about for years.
It has. In our research, we went back. We remember when Ken Gray was a congressman here in Southern Illinois. There was the idea that the four lane would actually go from Southern Illinois and come up through our area and connect in with St. Louis. But I guess either time or money or thoughts changed, and it ended up going up to Marion and on up to Chicago, and then 64 went over to St. Louis. And certainly you can look at the economic development that's happened in Marion, Illinois from 57, and you can see how the growth really jumped out when the route went that way.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll tell you what, let's take our break here and we'll come back and talk some more with Commissioner David Holder and Commissioner Dr. Martina here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff. And again, we're talking today with Randolph County Commissioners Dr. Martina and David Holder. And Dr. Keeney, you were talking about the connector plan.
Yes, certainly we've been working on it for several months. We were pleased that Senator Shemp sponsored legislation last year to create the task force, Senate Joint Resolution 54. And as we put this together this year, we had good representation from different segments. IDOT was instrumental in helping us put this together, and we were glad to have the participation of Keith Roberts, regional engineer for IDOT Region 5, and then Kirk Brown from District 8 and Kerry Nelson from District 9 were instrumental in helping us put this together from the standpoint of what does IDOT look for, what are the needs for a report that can make an impact if we're talking about funding, and what they look for in a project like this. So we had representatives from our four counties, Randolph, Perry, Jackson, and Monroe. We had representatives from the Illinois Farm Bureau, Mike McConaughey, who's a local farmer, SIU Carbondale, Deb Barnett. We had representation from labor unions. We had Chad Goldschmidt, who's president of the Operating Engineers, and on the Southwest Illinois Building and Construction Trades leadership team. Ed Welbacher, who's the general manager for the Kaskaskia Regional Port District. Will Stevens, who's the mayor of Murfreesboro, who represented the Illinois Municipal League. And then Illinois Realtors Organization, Bob Davenport, who works with the Egyptian Board of Realtors. So we had kind of a diverse group that worked together. I would encourage our listeners to go on the website for the connector, which is www.siconnector.com. There is a Facebook page for the SI connector, and this will be a featured project on the IDOT website. So all this is coming together right now and being published, so I would think in the next week or so all of this will be online and accessible for mm-hmm. folks, and would encourage you to take a look at it. So as we started out talking today, this is an idea that isn't new. It's come around several times. Starting in the 60s, I remember when I was in grade school and high school, we were talking about the possibility of doing this. And different routes were studied along the way. For a while there was a group in the 90s called SWIFT, if you remember, and they were talking about the possibility of a tollway and funding it through that and going up Route 13 and connecting into the Poplar Street Bridge. Since then, so many different entities and things have happened in this area. We have the World Shooting Complex. Our Kaskaskia ports now are the ninth largest inland port in the country. Wow. All right. Pyramid State Park. All of these things now told us that we need to look at a route going this way. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't just my idea or someone's idea. A lot of people came together and said, hey, let's see if we can connect into the four lane that is now around Waterloo mm-hmm. and also north of Murfreesboro. If you go up 127 through Murphy. So we looked at different routes. We did a focused study route that would go from Waterloo on Route 3. It would swing just to the south of Redbud. Blackjack and Old Wine Roads are listed there. Come over across the Kaskaskia River, head slightly to the north between the city of Baldwin and the power plant, and then go in front of the World Shooting Complex on County Road 18. Cross Route 4, head a little bit to the east, and then swing south by the airport, and then go down to where the Eden Y is. Create a different intersection for the Eden Y, and I'll talk about the Y, mm-hmm. Y for the Y, in a minute. And then head over on 154 to Pinckneyville, swing just to the southwest of Pinckneyville, out there by the fairgrounds on Kutchtown Road, and then head south on 127-13 and connect into Murfreesboro, the north side of Murfreesboro. There were several issues that were brought up that we explored, and what we found out was there was a real safety issue with this road. When we looked at a five-year study of accidents, we found out that in the 5 years that we studied that there were over 1,600 accidents between Waterloo and Murfreesboro, over 220 accidents carried the designation of a Class A accident, severe injury accidents, head-ons, side swipes, that type. Of that, there were 17 fatal accidents, which ended up in 22 fatalities in those 17 accidents. So we find out that, you know, there are no shoulders on the road, that there are many head-on accidents, sideswipe accidents, and certainly this report is very comprehensive. It gives the date and the time and the type of accident. It lays it all out in a map form so you can see where the worst sections of roads are. Along this road, Illinois does designations for roads that are really, really bad, let us say, in safety-wise. Five sections of this road hit the top 5% of Illinois accidents, all right? So I think that in itself tells us that we need to change this, all right? Economically, it's easier for us to create a road with a median, you know, a 50-foot median with shoulders, et cetera, to reduce those head-ons and side swipes and create better access for farm machinery, for school buses, for bicyclists, for all the different types of usage of that road. It makes sense safety-wise mm-hmm. for us to do this. I would also say when we look at the Y just to the east of Sparta, we see quite a few accidents there. And I think it's part of it is understanding how the roads go there, who has the stop sign, who doesn't. The vision that you get when you're trying to look back behind you to see if someone's coming. There are very few Ys left in District 8 or 9. This may be one of the only ones left. I can think of another intersection over there by Menard Motors over by Ruma. But at least there is a special road that you can take to kind of tee into Route 3 right there, which doesn't exist in Eden. Right. All right. So as we look at designing the connector, we think it would be important to redesign what we put there at Eden. All right.
Right.
So safety is a huge issue. The accidents. We also took a look at economic development. And, you know, when we talked to the leaders of Redbud and Pinckneyville and Sparta, the mayors, the planners, they all tell us that they get interest from manufacturers, pardon me, from business folks, and when they find out that there's not access to a four-lane road, it kind of shuts the conversation down. With the Port District, you know, we're fortunate to have rail there. We're fortunate to have the dock on the river kind of thing. With a four lane, it kind of creates a trifecta to raise the amount of freight that can be moved on and off of the river at that particular point. So all along the way, I think the connector enhances what we have for economic development. And I don't know if you need to take a break at this time.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Okay.
I saw
you looking up at the clock.
So we'll go ahead and take this break, and we'll come back. Again, this is The People Speak, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jeff. Again, we're talking with Randolph County Commissioners Dr. Mark Keena and David Holder, and we're talking about the plans on the connector.
Yes.
The highway.
Yes. I want to continue in the time that we have left just to talk about the fundamentals that are in the report. One is to alleviate some freight bottlenecks. When we get into the center of Redbud with the four-way stop and trying to navigate truck traffic through there, wow, that brings up a whole issue. But then also over in Perry County, when we look at the area around the courthouse, there are similar issues with freight and bottlenecks right in there. So this would alleviate those bottlenecks. Also, other issues when it comes to needing the rural four-lane expressway, let us call it. One would be healthcare. All right, when we look at the access to trauma centers that are adequate for our health needs, I think you and I were talking before we started the program about issues with hearts, issues with strokes, issues with babies being born. We know that you can't, you know, birth a baby at Sparta or Redbud or wherever. So we have to be able to access the Carbondales, the Bellevilles, the St. Louis area for birthing. Also, in talking with our hospital CEOs, they talked about getting good employees from the area. And if we had the expressway, it would help get access to more employees to come and work at these rural hospitals. So that was huge, as well as our ambulances. When it comes to being transported for any of those issues, it certainly is more economical to take an ambulance than it is to fly in a helicopter. And we were talking about typically in a rural area, if you pick someone up who needs a helicopter transport, you're going to have to drive them from their home or wherever the accident is to a place where a helicopter can land and then transport, you know, move them onto the helicopter. So this connector for health care is huge.
Yeah, I know from the time I worked with an ambulance service, I think in Pinckneyville, actually, but the quickest time we ever made it to Barnes Hospital was 45 minutes, and that's a considerable amount of time when you've got you know, a heart patient or a stroke patient.
Well, and what do they talk about? Time is muscle with heart attacks and certainly with strokes as well. Get that clot buster and get things turned around is huge. And so this is something that could be vital to the healthcare in this area. I know Dave's going to talk a little bit in a couple of weeks about economic development and our enterprise zone.
Yes.
That's coming up. So economic development is huge here. We have a wonderful university, SIU Carbondale, that this could be an artery for not only sports fans and employees, but for access to students to come down there. Top 5% research institution now with over 300 majors. Mm-hmm. All right. And, you know, by this point, it's not that SIU has changed anything, but they're actively pushing us to create this better artery for students to come down there. Also, SWIC and Redbud campus, certainly the four lane would help them as well. Lots of reasons to put this together, and in our purpose and needs segment, it really lays it out. Again, the history of this project goes back 50 years plus. I was asked this morning, I was asked on another radio station what the cost of this would be. And if Dave Holder could write me a check this morning for $800 million, that's what it would cost to do the IDOT studies and environmental studies and land acquisitions before we even get into the construction of the expressway. When we're looking at creating a four lane from an existing two lane or county roads, it brings the cost down considerably. When we're looking at this route, there are many areas where it's open space. And, you know, when I talk to the farmers about the purchase of their land, they made a couple of comments to me. They said, "Mark, make a rural four-lane expressway that helps us get our farm equipment from point A to point B safely. And if we need to sell a little bit of our acreage, give us fair market value for the cost of that land." And I couldn't argue with that. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But it was great to have Mike McConaughey of Farm Bureau on our group. He brought a lot of the farming thoughts as we put this report together. The route that we have, Jeff, is a focused study route. It's not etched in stone. There will be public meetings. There will be chances for the citizens to give input. All right. People will come up to me even now and they'll say, "Mark, will the road go through my property?" I don't know that for sure. Mm-hmm. IDOT has a process. In their phase one processes, the engineers look at the routes. They hold public meetings to talk about that. They do land acquisition. They do the environmental engineering. So we're not displacing the white squirrels or the red this or the blue that. Mm-hmm. All right. And so the cost of this project is, well, when you're talking millions of dollars, that's not cheap. But when we talk about the benefits for healthcare, for safety, for economic development, for our children to be transported, for all the components in here, it makes sense for us. And, you know, if the state of Illinois can tax us for $46 billion for a capital improvement plan, by golly, spend some of that money down here.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. And like I said, you know, we've mentioned before, too, this area is lacking in four-lane access.
Yes. Yes. It's huge.
And there is industry. Well, Redbud has, you know, several big companies. You've got the Gilster corporation, you know, I mean, this is going to benefit that and potentially bring in more industry.
And, you know, Senator Shemp was very clear about us making sure that we coordinated and talked to the freight people in St. Louis about this, and they're interested in what we're doing.
Okay. All right. So it's a work in progress.
It is. It is. I feel good that we met the deadline for the Senate Joint Resolution 54. We put it together. We had a great group. And I look forward to having people read the report, look at what it says, and if they have questions, shoot me an email.
All right. Dr. Keena, thank you. Commissioner Holder, we'll be talking to you, I guess, in a couple of weeks on the...
Yes, and thank you very much for Dr. Keena for all the work you've done on this project. It certainly took a tremendous amount of effort, and thanks for filling in for me. You covered my airtime this morning.
All right. Commissioner Dr. Mark Keena and Commissioner Holder, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you again next time on The People Speak. Have a great day.